Leviticus 8, these are God's words. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as a sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So Moses did as Yahweh had commanded him, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, This is what Yahweh commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with a robe, and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate. And he put the turban on his head, also on the turban, on its front. He put the golden plate, the holy crown, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Also Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar and all its utensils and the laver and its base to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Then Moses brought Aaron's sons and put tunics on them, girded them with sashes, and put hats on them, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And he brought the bull for the sin offering. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering, and Moses killed it. And he took the blood and put some on the horns of the altar all round with his finger and purified the altar. And he poured the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. Then he took all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull, its hide, its flesh, and its offal he burned with fire outside the camp, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. And Moses killed it. Then he sprinkled the blood all round on the altar. And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. Then he washed the entrails and the legs in the water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to Yahweh, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration. And then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Also he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, on the big toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears, and on the thumbs of their right hands, on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood all round on the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys, and their fat, and the right thigh. And from the basket of unleavened bread that was before Yahweh, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of bread anointed with oil, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in Aaron's hands and in his son's hands, and waved them as a wave offering before Yahweh. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar on the burnt offering. They were consecration offerings for a sweet aroma. That was an offering made by fire to Yahweh. And Moses took the breast and waved it as a wave offering before Yahweh. It was Moses' part of the ram of consecration, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron and his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecration offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread, you shall burn with fire. You shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you, as he has done this day. So Yahweh has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of Yahweh, so that you may not die, for so I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things that Yahweh had commanded by the hand of Moses. Come now to the consecration of the priests. Everything has been prepared, all the instructions for all the different sort of sacrifices. Here we have the bull for the sin offering, and then a ram for an ascension, and then a ram for consecration, although we'll notice, we noticed as we read, that the ram for consecration really followed the instruction and the order for the peace offering. But again, in this particular passage, as we've seen several times, the Lord especially highlights that all of this is done at his command. In fact, the phrase, just as Yahweh commanded, appears seven times in the chapter. Verse 4, verse 9, verse 13, verse 17, verse 21, verse 29, and verse 36. And we know that seven instances is a number of completion. Not only do we have the seven times of as Yahweh commanded Moses, but they had to do this for 7 days. The Lord, who perfected his creation by way of the Lord's day, by way of the Sabbath, he is perfecting now his work of recreation in creating not a world, but something better than a world, greater than a world. He's creating a church. And so we have these seven, just as Yahweh commanded Moses, or just as Yahweh has commanded, and it's done for these 7 days. The Lord Jesus, of course, does a work of creation even greater in his forming of the church that is not under Aaron and his sons, but that is under himself as great high priest. And he did all that Yahweh commanded, not only in his obedience to the moral law and his obedience to all things, which is counted as our righteousness, praise God, when you believe Jesus, you receive counted for you a perfect obedience. But he had specific instructions with respect to his own priesthood, didn't he? So John 6, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. The one who comes to me I will no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we may know that coming through Jesus is according to God's command. Therefore, it must be efficacious. It must work. John 10, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And again, chapter 14, 29 through 31. Now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And then John 17, verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And so with Jesus' priesthood, in going to the cross for us, laying his life down by his own authority, and taking it up again as a commandment that he received from his Father, that which he did out of love for his Father, and love for us, for him he died, and as an obedience as the Father had commanded him, we can be absolutely certain that this is the way by which the Lord brings us near. The Lord commanded, and then it was done. Same thing here in Leviticus 8, isn't it? The Lord commanded, had commanded all these things, and then just as Yahweh had commanded, they did all these things, and they ordained and installed the priesthood. It is glorious for us to know that the Lord has given us commands for how we may come near and how we may worship him. Not only do we not have to guess at what to do and take upon ourselves the blasphemous burden of deciding how to come to God, which anyone with a holy heart would refuse to do for himself. Not only do we not have to guess at what we're supposed to do in worship, but we know that what we do will be accepted, because the one who gave us what to do is the one who makes us acceptable to himself. Now we have here then not just these, just as Yahweh has commanded, but we also have then the completion of many instructions that we got back in the book of Exodus. Even the instruction about the wash basin, which was a life-saving device. Exodus 30, verse 18. The priests are to wash with water before they do anything else, so that they will not die, he says. And so here in verse 6, the first thing Moses does is wash them with water. In verses 7 through 9, the priestly attire takes us back to Exodus chapter 39, the second to last chapter of the book of Exodus. And the priestly attire in verses 1 through 31 of that chapter, the garments of the high priest and his special hat with its special plaque on top of it, and the linen garments of the of his sons, all of these were, as it were, final preparations, a completion of the work of preparing the items for the tabernacle. Now we're nearing the completion of the institution, the start of using the tabernacle. In verses 10 through 13 of our chapter, this anointing procedure that takes place. This was commanded back in the last chapter of the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 40, verses 9 through 16. And now, having all of these sacrifices, as the anointing takes place, we know that Aaron and his sons will be able to enter. We had had the instructions, but then you remember at the end of chapter 40 in the book of Exodus, the glory of the Lord had come down on the tabernacle and they couldn't enter. But now we know that they can and they will. And so they follow the anointing procedure. Finally, we see the filling of their hands. We're familiar with the sin offering. Moses performs the sin offering for them, remember, because it's priests who are being atoned for. No one may eat of this sin offering. The fat is offered to God, and everything else is taken outside the camp and burned in a clean place. The ascension that is offered for them is a ram, and they follow the proper procedure for that. And then they have something that our version says he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration. But throughout from verse 22 to the end of the chapter, the word consecration is translating the basic word for filling. And especially the idea is that God is filling their hands with their work, filling their hands with the duty of the priesthood. And so full are their hands that their hands aren't for anything else. This is what's indicated by the blood on the right earlobe and the right thumb and the right big toe, that from head to toe, Aaron and his sons did not get to have other things in their life. From head to toe, they were consecrated entirely unto God. Their hands were full. Maybe you've heard people say, you know, when someone asks them to do something else, I can't, my hands are full. Well, the Lord was telling them, your hands are full of the priesthood. That's what the idea of consecration is here. And that is an idea behind consecration, isn't it? That when God consecrates as something holy to himself, you're not allowed to use it for other reasons. Remember, the anointing oil that's being used in this procedure, if somebody else tried to make the same kind, they were to be executed. And so So the Lord is filling their hands. It's a peace offering. They follow the procedure for the peace offering. If you compare the procedure here in verses 22 and following with the instructions in chapter 3, verse 1 through 17, and chapter 7, verse 11 through 15, and Moses' high honor as being the one who gets the breast of the wave offering, which is good because Aaron and his sons are being ordained to the priesthood, and the whole group are staying for 7 days in the tabernacle, and so Moses getting to eat something is a mercy. But every day, they would burn the rest of the meat from the ram for the filling or the consecration from the previous day, and they would start the process over. In this case, however, the blood is being applied to the worshipers themselves, not the altar. And one of the reasons is because Aaron and his sons are now part of how God furnishes the tabernacle. They are God's provision to his people for coming near to him. Just as the Lord Jesus is consecrated by his own blood, as once for all sacrifice, and he is God's great provision for us. He is, of course, tabernacle and sacrifices and priest and all in one. And so God fills their hands. So we have just as Yahweh has commanded, so that we know all of this happens by the Lord's command, and we can know that those who come to him in the way that he has commanded will be accepted. And we have the fulfillment of the various things from Exodus, letting us know that we are coming to a climax, and God has made the way of entering and using all of his provision, that God will actively receive them, and God has filled their hands. And then finally, we come to the very end of chapter 8, in verses 33 through 36, and we've already mentioned this, that this has to be done 7 days, seven times, a completion, a perfection of the work of the Lord, who had created the world in 7 days, and now he was creating a church, an assembly that was authorized to gather to him. What a wonderful thing a church is. People want to say a church is a family, and usually what they mean is that they love each other and take care of each other. That's fine. There are lots of groups that love each other and take care of each other, and no one should love each other and take care of each other more than the church. But a church is a glorious thing because it is an assembly of people whom God has formed to give them the privilege of gathering to him, that they might draw near to him. This is the great thing of the church. And this is what the Lord had completed in all that he had done from bringing them out of the land of Egypt until this 7-day ordination. May we see the greatness of what the Lord has done in providing his son and forming a church in his son and gathering us to himself in his son. And how amazing it is that the Son of God, when he became a man, would fill his hands with the ministry of bringing us near to God. Let's pray. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, that you have consecrated yourself as the Lord commanded you, not only to lay your life down, but to take it up again, so that you might bring us near. And we pray, our Father in heaven, that as we read and think about the book of Leviticus, that your Spirit would write on our hearts the greatness of the privilege that we have of being gathered to you in your Son. O Lord, how great has been your mercy to us. And so we pray that by your sanctifying us through your word, how great would be our trust in you, and how great would be our thankfulness to you. We know that these are not what they should be, but we rejoice to know that you use your word to make them more and more like they should be, until finally, in the day of Christ Jesus, we know that they will be. And so help us, O Lord, in faith and in thankfulness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.